Good to see you today. God bless you. Are you glad to be in the house of God?
Yeah.
If you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you worship the Lord with us. Also, around here, we give you anonymity, which basically means hang out, hide out, make yourself at home. We're not going to ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We're just glad to have you here. And everybody said, amen. Let's just take a few seconds to do a little personal business as far as the seating situation. If there's open seats around you, if you can kind of squeeze into the center a little more to open up some of the sides. We have people sitting in metal chairs, which is definitely not comfortable. And like for everybody, get a comfortable seat. For those of you on chairs, if you want to look around and find some spots, that's all right. What do you think about this weather? Two things. Number one, praise God, we're not Kansas City. Come on, somebody. Praise God, it didn't happen at Saturday night at 4 a.m. You know what I mean? That's and they tell me we're getting snow again Tuesday. So I'm ready for the summer. I don't know about you. I'm shoveling snow, but I'm thinking swimming right now. I don't know about you. It's crazy weather, but I'm glad to have each and every one of you worship the Lord with us today. We started a series last week called Going Up. Say Going Up. And the emphasis, the concept in this series is about greatness, becoming great, doing great things, achieving the greatness in our lives that your Heavenly Father has for you. Do you realize God has some great plans for you? You know what I mean? Jeremiah tells us he has great plans for good. John 10:10, Jesus said, I've come that you might have an abundant life and live it more abundantly. We call it dynamically. You can call it a great life. And we're finding that in this context that God just doesn't want you to experience greatness as a passing event. But God wants you to maintain that greatness. So it's not a matter of just getting somewhere, because we can all get somewhere and then lose it or mishandle it or not deal with it correctly. So it's just not achieving it, but achieving it correctly so that you can manage and handle it correctly. And we find that comes in the context that God wants you to do great things, but the motivation for it is a key element in enabling you to get there, but also helping you to maintain being there. Because the Bible tells us, I'll say it this way, I believe that your greatness that God can do in and through you gives glory to your Heavenly Father. We see that in Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 7, 8, and 16. What brings glory to your Father is not struggling and problems. What brings glory to your Father is your successes. Your life can be a billboard of the goodness of God. And the Bible tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. See, a lot of people out there that don't know the Lord, they've heard people tell them, and they see God as an old man with a long beard and a big stick waiting for someone to make a mistake so he can smack them with it. And they're walking around saying, I don't want any of that. But when you understand the goodness of God, and so God wants you to have a great life. God wants you to achieve greatness in your life. And when you understand the motivation of how to do it and how to handle it, you begin to see that it's not the way the world handles it. I mean, the disciples asked Jesus, who's the greatest? How do we develop greatness? And Jesus didn't respond with, oh, we don't talk about that. We're believers. We're Christians. We love God. We don't talk about that. And that mindset is infiltrated into the church, because all of a sudden people go to church, start loving Jesus, and in some circles they'll tell you, oh, we don't talk like that. Because they think it's being self-centered, and that's the world's way of doing it. Instead of God's way of doing it, when it's not being selfish or self-centered, but literally selfless, because you understand that it's not about you. Did you hear me? We found out last week that one of the key things, and before Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 23, which has been our key verse in this series, when Jesus was beginning to share how to develop greatness in your life, he didn't start with what to do. He started showing them what not to do. Because what not to do can really mess up what is the right thing to do. Doing the wrong thing can sometimes mess up what you've done and the good thing. I could spend an hour on the treadmill yesterday, but get done, eat five boxes of ding-dongs. Somebody know that doing the wrong thing, come on, somebody, just totally messed up the good thing I did. And so we can get on the right path, but if we don't handle it correctly, we can find out that the blessings of God literally can become a curse. We've seen people, even in the area of finances, I totally believe that God wants to bless you. And he even says to his people that I'll bless you, I'll give you the power to get wealth, but remember that it was me and not you. And we've seen people literally, I won't give names, but I'm not making this up one bit, that today, literally, their tithe equals what they used to make as a paycheck. Can you imagine? Not one, several. Because they obeyed, they followed, they walked through the process, and they began to believe that they could have more than what they currently had, and they saw God bless them. But I've also seen on the flip side, people follow the process, get blessed, and all of a sudden the blessing became a curse. Where all of a sudden they have so much money, now they wanted to have a lake house and a boat. Nothing wrong with a lake house and a boat. But now instead of being at church when the doors are open and serving God and volunteering and tithing and giving and praying and doing what God wants them to do, they find themselves on the weekend. Where are they? You call them, Pastor, it's the weekend's my only time to be at the cabin and or lake house and on the boat. And they'll go months without being in the house of God. Well, what happened? They couldn't handle correctly the greatness that God was bringing into their life. Did you hear me? And so it's just not a matter of you being exposed to greatness or just getting there for a little bit of time, but handling it so it doesn't destroy you. Did you hear me? Dynamite's a powerful tool, but in the hands of the wrong person, dynamite can be destructive. And that goes for any facet. Money is a powerful tool, but a lot of money in the wrong hands can be destructive. Influence is a powerful tool, but influence in the wrong hands can be destructive. Do you see what I'm saying? And so it's learning to do what God shows us in his word. And one of the things Jesus mentioned or talked about last week, Jesus said to the disciples, he used the scribes and the Pharisees. Amazing how he started with the religious people to show what not to do. I'm telling you, sometimes looking just at people that are in the church is not always a good way to find out what you should do. It's just because someone says it, and we challenge you to challenge everything that's ever said with the word of God. Even if I say something, don't take my word for it. Find it in the word. And what I'm saying, I should be able to give you support, scriptures for it, but challenge everything with the word of God, because at the end of the day, it's what the Bible says and not what anybody says. Did you hear me? And so Jesus began to talk about the Pharisees and scribes. So listen, they're the authority in telling you what the law of Moses is about, so do what they're teaching you. But he goes on to say, and this is Matthew 23, read it on your own, the first verses. And he said, but don't do what they do. Don't follow their example, because they don't practice what they preach. And he begins to show us some of the wrong motivation in achieving greatness. And these principles in maintaining greatness or achieving greatness can be applied to any area. It could be your finances. It could be your career. It could be your relationships. It could be your marriage. It could be your health, whatever. It goes on and on. It's expandable to every facet. The principles of God works in every area of your life. And Jesus said, don't follow their example. They don't practice what they preach. In fact, what we talked last week, he's one of the problems that they did, he said that they love all the attention. They love to be recognized in the crowd. They love to have the guest of honor at the party. They like to have the best seat in the house. They like to be the one that's complimented and patted on the back. Now, I want you to stop for a second. And at first, we can say, oh, horrible scribes, Pharisees, bad, bad people. But let's think about it practically. Which one of us wouldn't like that? You know what I mean? Whoever has somebody where they come up and compliment you and you walk away feeling, I feel so bad. I had 5 people tell me I did a great job at work today. I feel so bad. No, it's a natural thing. It's a natural thing to like to be recognized or to be treated with honor, right? And there's nothing wrong with those things. Listen to me, there's nothing wrong. But what the scribes and the Pharisees did is they took it out of what is normal and made it abnormal. They took it beyond what God intended it to be. You got to be careful. Good things can become bad when we take them out of what God intended them to be in our lives. Did you hear me? Money is a great tool, but if you love it, it's become something it was never intended to be. It's a horrible, horrible God. Well, I got a big amen, so we'll move right along. And so Jesus told them, listen, don't do what they do. They don't practice what they preach. It's all for them, it's all about themselves. It's living a self-centered life. And folks, the danger in that, when we begin to try to achieve greatness or maintain greatness, when we do it for the idea of it makes us feel good about ourselves, and that's what it's all about, you'll wreck it. You'll wreck it. Any good business person realize you can't run a business with the idea it's all about me. You have a grumpy day, you chew every customer out that, you know what I mean, that you don't like, and all of a sudden you have no more customers. Why? Because it's not about you. You got to learn to pull yourself out of the equation. It's not about you. See, when you begin to see people and what they can do to make you feel good about yourself, what they can do, all of a sudden you are withdrawing from a relationship, withdrawing from those people, something that didn't necessarily was intended by God for you to get that day from them. And all of a sudden you will bankrupt friendships, bankrupt marriages, bankrupt relationships because you're trying to pull from them, and you'll begin to see people as tools to make you happy. A famous ministry that had achieved greatness but fell apart, and in an interview later, he noticed internally, in his heart, in his attitude. See, that's where you begin to see the difference. In his attitude, he said, early on in the ministry, if someone held the door for him, he appreciated it. He said, but over time, he expected it. And now it wasn't, thank you for doing something nice. It was, that's what you're supposed to do. Don't you know who I am kind of deal. And when people start having that attitude, all of a sudden they are motivated for the wrong reason. Their motivation for greatness is not to glorify God. Their motivation for greatness is not to help people. Their motivation for greatness is to make them feel better. And all of a sudden, people are just tools to use to make them look and feel better. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Jesus said, don't follow them. We talked last week that the key element is learning. It's not about me. It's not about me. God will bless you so much. And God doesn't mind you having things as long as things don't have you. But God will bless you so you understand that the point of not only meeting your needs, but God will use you and your finances to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. God will use your gift, your talent, your idea, your charisma, your organizational ability. God will use your connection. God will use you to bless other people. We see that even on the spiritual side. God will anoint you with somebody else in mind. Most people want the anointing so they can feel the buzz. They almost treat God like he's a drug dealer. I need a little buzz today. I'm not feeling it today. No. See, God, you want to feel God more? You want to feel the anointing more? Start reaching out to people. Create a demand for the anointing. Create a demand for the anointing. Create a demand for the anointing. Isaiah 10 tells us that the anointing is the burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Create a demand. So if it's all about Jesus, make me feel good today, then all you're looking for a little bit of candy today to make it a sweet day. No. When you start saying, Lord, I'm going to be out there. You show me who to reach. You show me who to touch. And Lord, I need the anointing to do what you call me to do. You're going to see a stronger anointing. Oh, that was extra. So Jesus begins to tell us a key for greatness in Matthew 23. And he didn't look at him and say, no, we don't talk about that. He said, let me tell you about greatness. It's not going to be the way the world system works. Because the world system, you got to make your light brighter while blowing out the other guys. So you look better than anybody else. See, we're trying to be the greatest. You're really competing and comparing yourself amongst others. That's what it's about. Jesus said, let me help you out. Let me show you how to build a great life. Matthew 23, and he says, the greatest among you will be your servant. Say, servant. Servant. Now, this is not what we want to hear. This is not what we want to hear. If Jesus said, anyone who's going to be the greatest amongst you, let him buy Apple stock before it goes up to 600. Now, that would have been a great advice, and we'd all been like, yeah, I'm in there. He said, if anybody wants to be great, make sure that he contacts 24 people every day personally and get something from them. Okay, the little hard work, I can figure it out. But Jesus said this, anyone who wants to be great, let him be a servant. Now, in our terminology, and actually in the original text, the Greek word there, it is not servant, it's actually minister. And each and every one of us are ministers. Not a full-time, fivefold ministry. But as a born-again Christian, you're a minister, which means you have something that God can use to reach somebody. You have something that God can use to reach somebody. Did you hear me? You might not see it. You might not even recognize it right now. But you have, God's already given you something right where you're at. At the level where you're at in your journey, you maybe just got saved yesterday, but you have something that God can use to help somebody. And that a better definition besides minister, it means one who executes the commands of another. One who executes, one who carries out the commands of somebody else. And what we bring this in context, and if you keep your heart and ears and eyes open on this series, at the end of it, I promise you, you will get a different perspective on service. Because in the church world, if you've been out in a lot of different churches or been around the church world a while, when you start talking about serving, it is a bad deal. It is somebody who has recruited you for one thing, and next thing you know, that one became five, and the five became 10, and now you're at church every night of the week, and you don't have time to spend time with your family or pay bills. And the moment you ask the pastor, I need a night off to take care of some personal stuff, and the pastor has a come to Jesus meeting with you, challenging your convictions and your commitment to the house. Come on, somebody. Some of you have been there before. And all of a sudden, you don't see any light at the end of the tunnel, and you walk in. We've had people come through these doors that join the church, say, I just need a year of resting. And I say, just take that time. Take it. Well, they actually say, they actually come in saying, I'm so burnt out, I don't know what to do. And I'll say, sit and rest for a period of time. Because you've been so used, so abused, and so condemned and controlled because they didn't want to look for anybody else. They just found the few that will do everything. And all of a sudden, you had to do everything. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. It's executing the commands of another. And the emphasis of the command does not come from people. It comes from God. Listen to me today. The source of the command is God, and the target of the service is to others. But we have to, this it literally will free you, because we've all been in situations where people around us, I mean, the moment you start developing any level of influence or visibility or greatness, you have people come out of the woodwork. I think that's one of the benefits Joseph had being in prison, because one of his responsibility is he had to handle or portion out food to the prisoners. Man, talk about people who know how to lie and are all innocent and will try to talk you out of what you got. He had to learn to manage something and tell people no. He had to learn to tell people no. Did you hear me? You can't say yes to everybody and make it. Because the moment you start doing the right thing, the devil will send the wrong people that will take advantage of your honest integrity and sincerity to burn you out. They'll try. If the devil can't stop you from serving, he'll try to sidetrack you and get you going in all different directions, and you don't know which way's up. I'm just telling you the truth. And so we find that literally this is freeing you, because we've all been in situations where someone found out that we were serving God and they try to take advantage of it. I mean, you win the lottery, all of a sudden you'll have cousins. You never knew you had cousins show up and calling you and say, I'm your third cousin on your grandma's side. And you're like, I never heard of you, but they want money. And you don't even have to win the lottery. Someone find out you got a job and you're paying your bills. They'll be calling you and say, can you help me? And they'll find out, and have you ever had this happen? This is rhetorical, which means don't answer, just kind of smile. They'll call you or talk to you, and they'll try to put a guilt trip on you. Well, aren't you a Christian? You're supposed to be in love. You should pay my bills. Just because they ask doesn't mean you have to do it, folks. I feel sorry for all your relatives that right now they're sitting in church. They're like, don't call them. Uncle Antha, he's not going to give us anything. Yeah, so. Amen. Amen. Just because someone asks doesn't mean you have to do it or give it to them. In fact, I challenge you, no matter who it is, you find the mind of God. Take a moment, look for the peace of God. And if you're not for sure, you know what I mean? One good thing is that, and this is kind of lighthearted, but if they say, you need to pay my bills. I'm behind on rent. I'm behind on this. Or I'm behind on my utilities. You need to pay. You need to pay. Say, just a minute. Because if you tell them no, they're like, aren't you a Christian? You don't practice what you preach. You just go to church. You're a hypocrite. They don't even go to church. They don't even know Jesus. They know the lingo. They know how to get under your skin and make you feel bad. Just look at them and say, just a minute. What are you doing? I'm asking Jesus. Hang on. Jesus said no. Hang on, just a minute. Jesus said, you need to get a job. Hang on, wait a minute. I think he's telling me what you were doing last weekend. Just a minute. It's getting clear what you've been up to. Next time you open your eyes, they'll be gone and they won't bother you again. How would they know? I mean, they don't know Jesus. They just talk like them. This series will free you. Because if we don't know how to follow the instruction commands of God, we just follow the instructions and commands of people. And in trying to build greatness, you'll become more visible, and all of a sudden you'll be pulled in all different directions, and you won't reach your destiny. Are you with me? So Jesus said, let's be a servant, let's be a minister. But it's just not doing anything or doing something. It's doing the thing that God shows you to do, even in ministering to people. You can't reach everybody. God never intended for you to reach everybody. Did you hear me? You can't pay everybody's bills. You can't help everybody that has a need. You can't feed every person that's hungry. You can't pray for everybody that needs prayer. But it doesn't mean that you can't reach somebody. Doesn't mean you can't feed somebody or pray with somebody. So it's learning to discern who in that rhythm and understanding the motivation that it's not about making myself or making yourself feel better or to look better. See, that's how the world does it. It's all on perception. It's all on marketing. Come on now. It's all about trying to put an image of something you know you're not. Be dangerous because now you got to try to live up to it. The greatest among you will be your servant. So last week we began with a key thought throughout this whole series, and that's this: building greatness in our lives begins by building greatness in the lives of others. Building greatness in our lives begins by building greatness in the lives of others. Building greatness in our lives begins by building greatness in the lives of others. And it starts with the understanding that it's not about me. It's not about you. We have to take ourselves out of the equation and begin to understand that God wants to do some stuff that's way beyond us. Have you ever noticed that when you walk in your relationship with God, that God will ask you? He loves you too much to leave you in that comfort zone of just what you can do. He wants to express. He wants to demonstrate to you how awesome he is, not only in you but through you. In fact, the Bible says we have this treasure, talking about the presence and power of God, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not of man. And so God wants to do some stuff that's way beyond your ability. You're not limited by your own limitation. You're not limited by your education, your economic situation, where you live, your zip code. You are not limited by anything but what you can believe. Jesus told Mary and Martha, if you can believe, you'll see. If you believe. See, that's a part of faith. That's a whole level of living, because the just shall live by faith, but most of us have taken and made faith like a mystique thing or a mystery, or we made faith like a crisis management, like you have a car and you have a flat tire, and now you have to get faith for that tire. But I'm telling you that faith is not about an event, it's about the rhythm of life. Living beyond yourself. Living, reflecting. Now notice this, because we talk about, and I'm going to say it just in these terms. In the last series, we did Awaken. Awaken, if you remember that, if you're with us, Awaken was all about positioning yourselves to experience God. Not trying to necessarily do more, but be in a position to receive. God, here I am. Awaken me to your presence. Father God, awaken me to your presence today in Jesus' name. Remember that? Yes. That was all about experiencing God. But folks, we can't stop just here. Because if your whole Christian walk was just about you experiencing God, listen to me. If it's all about you just experiencing God, then why did God leave you on this earth? For us to grow in our walk with God, for us to become more like Christ, for us to develop spiritual maturity, for us to develop greatness in our life, we have to begin to walk out this process, the principles of God's word that shows us it's just not about, and this is a wonderful thing. This is an awesome thing. This is a requirement. This is necessity for your walk with God, experiencing God. But if we're not careful, we'll think it's all just about experiencing God. And we'll find out that that's a part of the puzzle. You don't hear that preached a lot. What is the other part? Here's another key to it. Just not experiencing God, but now expressing God to others. You could say reflecting God to others. Jesus made it very clear. He connected the two when they asked him the greatest commandment in the law, and he said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. Wait a minute. He brought in a connection between your relationship with God and your relationship with others. What you receive from God, letting it flow to others. What God is doing in you, allowing God to do it through you. And so in this series, it's about expressing God, reflecting God. And we see the greatest example. Can you imagine where it might be? It's in the life of Jesus. And in Hebrews chapter 1, we start off and we see in this verse, Hebrews chapter 1, it says, God, this is a King James version, God who at sundry times in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, saying God used different prophets, different ways to speak to his people. But hath in these last days spoken to us by his son. And who's his son?
Jesus.
Talk to me, church. Who's his son?
Jesus.
Thank you. Has spoken unto us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person. I want to stop there because he says he is the brightness of his glory and the expressed image. Expressed image. One translation says that Jesus reflected the nature and ability of God. Stick with me. So Jesus, when he was on his earthly ministry on the earth 2,000 years ago, when he was in ministry on the earth 2,000 years ago, he didn't do what he wanted. He did what the Father wanted. We see that all the time. He said, listen, the words I say are not my words. It's the Father's words. The things I do, it's not me doing it. It's the Father doing the works through me. Right? He was in complete union with the Father, the will of the Father, to the place that he expressed the nature, character, and ability of God. So when God wanted to show the people that he didn't want you to die early of sickness, he wanted you to live, Jesus would heal people. And his healing of people would show them that the Father doesn't want you to be sick. He wants you healed. He raised the dead of a little girl. So just let people know that God doesn't want you. Your Heavenly Father doesn't want to take children before their time. He wants you to live to a long life. He would take a little meal, a little lunch of a little boy and multiply and feed the multitudes. It was the nature of the Father to show people that he cares even about you being hungry, and he can multiply a little lunch to feed the 5,000, not counting women and children. He would cast demons out of people to show people that it was the nature of the Father, that you do not have to be bound by the devil, but whom the Son has set free is free indeed. And that's the desire and will of the Father. That's the nature of the Father. That's the nature of the Father. To the point that when the disciples asked Jesus, oh, I'm feeling anointed on this. When the disciples asked Jesus, show us the Father. He responded quickly and said, have I not been with you that you don't realize? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You want to know what the Father's about? Watch me. You want to know what the Father's thinking? Watch me. Because I'm expressing, I'm reflecting like a mirror the nature of the Father. God. Looked at a prostitute caught in the act and said, I forgive you and I release you. Now go and don't do it again. When the Pharisees and Sadducees wanted judgment, he was expressing the nature of the Father. But not only did he reflect or express the nature of the Father, he expressed or reflect the power of the Father. Did you hear me? Because what he did not catch this. What Jesus did on the earth in his miracles, and the Bible says in Acts that he went about doing good things, destroying the works of the devil, healing those who were sick, right? The Bible tells us that if all the works of Jesus were written down, that the books of this world could not contain it. So he did a lot of stuff. But I want you to know that Jesus did not do one miracle within his deity. He did not do a miracle based on who he was as the Son of God. He did a miracle based on who he was as the Son of Man in the reference of God's ability, because he said himself, it's not me that does the works. It's the Father who is doing the works. And if it was based on deity, then he could never look at us as he did to the disciples, and it continues to all disciples of Christ when he said, the works that I do, you shall do also. You couldn't do it if it was based on him doing it based on deity. But he had made a divine connection, showing us that there is a realm of living that's just beyond what you can do. It's living based on what the Father can do. Doesn't the Bible say you can do all things? Shout it. Through Christ, which strengthens you. Your strength doesn't come from just your ability, but God has a level of living that the just shall live by faith. That's living beyond your best, living beyond your ability, living beyond your education. And praise God for education. Praise God for you developing your skill. You need to maximize that second box of who and what you can do. But God doesn't and is not limited by you, what you can and can't do. In fact, if you study the Bible, you'll find that God will do great things to people that couldn't do it. Hey, Gideon, I'm going to use you to be a mighty, valiant warrior. Oh, God, you understand. You understand, angel, that I am the least in my family, and my family is the least of all the tribes. That's good enough for me. Mary, Martha, if you believe, the basis is, if you believe, if you follow me, Abraham, I'm going to make you a father of a multitude. Oh, you don't understand. I'm old. Have you seen my wife? Come on, somebody. She's old. Too, way beyond our ability. Way beyond our ability. Way beyond ability. Way beyond our ability. I want to ask somebody, when's the last time God's asked you to do something that's way beyond you? That's when you start getting in faith. When God begins to ask you to charge a giant you know you can't kill, to scream at a mountain that you know you can't bring down, to talk to him. Hey, he'll say, shout of praise and watch that wall come down. He'll say, speak to that stick of my tree and tell it to uproot. You can't do it. He said, lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can lay your hands on every person. It's nothing in your hand. It's your obedience. And it's God doing the work of what you cannot do. Abraham said, I can't do it, God. I'm too old. I can't. God said, shut up. That's Greg Bruce's translation. Sometimes you got to tell yourself, shut up. Some that they might even come to you at work and say, we know we haven't included you, but we need you in this problem we're dealing with. And your first response is, oh, I can't figure that out. I don't have a degree. You need to tell yourself, shut up. You just shut up and ride the journey. Watch what God will do, because God can give you the inside track, wisdom on what that situation needs without you knowing in advance, but God shows you. God said, okay, Abraham, you don't think you can? We'll just wait a little longer. I'll let you get a little older. I'll let you get so old, because Abraham, I want you at a place that you are fully persuaded that it's not based. Because the Bible tells us that Abraham considered not his own ability, what he could and could not do. Abraham took himself out of the equation. Abraham didn't say, this is not going to be based on what I can do, because I'm not even looking. I'm not depending. I am trusting in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not. Do not depend on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And the Bible tells me that Abraham considered not his ability, did not consider his limitation. You are not limited by your limitation. Don't you let the devil talk you out of your next blessing. Don't you let the devil talk you out of your next victory. Don't you let the most people, you could win if you just charge. You could win if you just charge. We know what David's mindset was. He ran after that giant, but he told the king of the tent, listen, king, one thing I know, that the same God who delivered me, catch the word, delivered me, the same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and paw of the, I'm talking to somebody today, the same God who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will be the same God that will deliver me from the hand of this uncircumcised Philistine. What was he saying? I'm going to charge before I see victory, because my confidence in he who made the promise. Woo, my God. And the Bible says that Abraham considered not his ability or lack of him, but he was fully persuaded that he that had made the promise was well able. The ability is not in you, what I'm talking about. There is a level of living that God wants to bring you above you, beyond you. Call it faith. Call it the other dimension. Call it the third box. Call it what you want. But there's a level of living that God wants you to live that's beyond you, so that all the glory goes to God. How did you build that business so successfully? You know you can't do it. You just obeyed. Can you imagine someone come to the servant at the wedding of Canaan and say, how'd you turn that water into wine? All we did is we obeyed. We just poured it. We just poured it. How did you heal that sick? I just laid hands on him. It was God. How did you raise the dead? Oh, I just did what God told me to do. See, it's not following your command. You have to get yourself out of the equation. You do what God tells you to do. You do what God tells you to do. If he says pray for somebody, pray for him. It's not about you. See, we get ourselves in the mix. Well, God, you know, I've been kind of grumpy with my family today. You know, I didn't pray yesterday, and I'm not really feeling good. You know, my energy's low. Who cares? You're a man or woman of faith. You're not moved by what you feel. hear, or see. You're moved by the word of God, which means that the instruction of God. And when God gives you a command, and by faith you obey and step out of that boat, baby, because you're about to walk on a level you've never lived in before. Oh, my God. Hey! I want to live where I know I can't get to, but I'm living there. Gives grace. Doesn't the Bible tell us it's no longer I that lives, but Christ lives in me? And the life that I now live, I live by faith. Woo! How would you like to look at your checkbook and say, I know that's not about me, that's about him? How would you like to look at your career and say, all about him? How would you like to look at your family and say, it's all because of God? Hey, level of living beyond you. Woo, my God. They'll have such an authority you can tell one to go and he goes, and one to come. The demons flee when they see you coming because you don't even mess with them. You say, get out, and off they go. A demon doesn't have to listen to you, but has to listen to God. And when you are under his authority and following his instruction, they have to obey. Woo! He reflected. Oh, we're out of time. He reflected. I just looked at the clock. We are way out of time. I got so happy. I just forgot where we're at. He reflected. Hey, you can say, well, that was Jesus. Hang on. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. But then he later told us, you're the light of the world. You're not no little candle that's going to be blown out by a little breeze. Have you ever had to walk through a room and you lit a candle, you start walking, and the moment you walk too fast and it blows it out? And you got to figure, I got to walk real slow. Got to be careful. No. You're not that little candle. You're not a little light. You're the light like Jesus. You reflect him in a dark world so people can know the goodness, the nature, and the power of your Father. It's not about you. It's all about him and them that you're called to reach. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. The devil trying to mess with you, tell you, you can't, you shouldn't. Yeah, I'm out of the equation. I'm not, it's not me. It's all about him. Amen. Woo, folks. We'll talk next week more about what that means, even in reaching people. Ooh, my God. And how that affects us and relates to us. Amen.